I care about Jesus and you, too. And I think I probably last week, staff meeting, the guys reminded me a little bit that I kind of made it sound like we didn't have a plan for a winter retreat, because we really didn't. But we really do now. We spent a lot of time last week just planning out a direction, and I am so excited about, I think, what God wants to do. I echo what Phil was saying about our direction and excitement of where we're going to head with this. And I'm also excited because you guys remember Dan and Steve last week came and shared some music. And those are guys that really care and love you guys as well. These guys are out trying to promote themselves. They have to. That's part of the job, part of the gig, trying to get their name out there. And so they are visiting and doing stuff all the time. And without their guitars, they're here tonight just because they want to hang out with you guys a little bit before this retreat starts. So they're in the far back. So if you get a chance to say, want to wave at us there, guys? Good to see you guys, far back, left corner. So thank you for, I'm feeling like there's something really building for this, and I'm really excited about it. All right, this is the deal. We're very inexperienced campus house sitters. I understand this. This used to be the way it was for years. We just sit here forever. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to get worse. Your butt's hurt now. It's going to get worse. So what we're going to do, and I don't want, please don't, let's not go crazy and like lose control, but let's just take 30 seconds, stand and stretch, okay? Stand and stretch. Let's pray. Oh, that always gets them. All right. Could we get the lights all the way up in the middle there? The middle ones up? These. All the way up. Other way. No. Yes. Awesome. Hey, I didn't mean to be sacrilegious there and say, let's pray and not pray, but maybe I should pray. God, thanks. This is a great night. It's cold outside. It's warm in here. And it's awesome to be with people that love you. It's awesome to have you in the center of this room. I pray that this whole night would be about you, that we'd be able to really fill ourselves with what you need for us tonight, that we would be focused and we would be ready to receive the message that you have for us. I am fuzzy a little bit in the direction right now, but I know this is information that needs to get into each of our hearts. And I'm praying that everyone on this campus, God, even if this is a podcast that goes out, that we would be sharing this with people, because we need better marriages and we have interest at this point in our life. So I just pray that you capitalize upon everything that's working in your favor and your momentum, that you just make things happen in a way that's all for your glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, hey, last week, if you weren't here, we talked about love. We are in a relationship series, and I want to get, we gave bad news last week. We're going to start jumping into some good news tonight, okay? We're going to be doing this for 4 weeks, I've decided. This is week two. A lot of this is regurgitated information that I have heard over the years from some very profound people in my life, mostly from Randy Garris. And so if you said, I think I've heard this before, some of it you have, but hopefully it's packaged a little differently and at least put in a streamlined presentation so that you can hopefully remember it well. That's why we have these bags. All of us want love. All of us desire to have love in our life. And so that's what these bags represent. Each bag represents love. And we talked last week that four out of five marriages have a marriage that they don't want their kids to have. Only one out of five says, yeah, I hope you can have what I've got. I'm not saying this to brag, but I really have a marriage I want my kids to have. And this isn't something that we just kind of stumbled on and was like, ooh, we got the good bag. I mean, it just doesn't just happen that way. There actually is a process, I think, that we should be going through and thinking through that makes these things work. We talked last week, a lot of us, we are just born with an empty bag. All of us are. We're born with an empty hole in our chest that we need to fill up something within us. And we have this overwhelming feeling when we walk down the halls of our junior high and high school and we're like, that guy just made me melt. I don't know what it was. And there's something, there's a reaction that happens to us that's eros love. It's not just a sexual love where we get our words are erotic, but it has a lot more to do with feeling. And guys, it's the same thing with you. It's like, man, she's hot. And it's like, whoa, wow. And those kind of reactive feeling kind of love, it's not a bad love. I don't want you guys to think it's bad. I used to think, you know, eros is bad and phileo is bad. And the only good love out there is agape. No, that's not true. But the only thing that can be a ground level, build your relationship off of love, is agape. And phileo and eros, man, it grows off of that like crazy. It's awesome. You just can't get the foundation wrong. You guys understand? So the foundation, I mean, we feel love, and it's like, yeah, I understand. You felt love. It's real. It's a real love, but it's really going to only last you, we decided, a 1 to 3 year love, eros. I love you if. I love you if I get the feeling. And then we talked about a lot more of a thought-out process is that, you know, I'm going to go on match.com and I'm going to check off things that I look for somebody. I want this in this person. I want this kind of characteristic, this kind of characteristic. And that's I love you because. But both of those, all four people there's two groups. We said 40% of our population is pretty much in an eros relationship. And another 40% is in a phileo, thought-out, I love you because relationship. And we talked extensively about that. And now tonight, I really want to talk. My bag's kind of falling down because this is so full of goodness, you know? it's falling apart here. But this bag, we talked about the word contentment, happiness, morality, money, and purpose. And we just asked ourselves if we could actually have those things already in our bag, we actually then would have something to share with someone else. We actually have the ability to give something. And here's what's interesting. From the outside, you look at all four of these. You're going to see a couple here, a couple here, a couple here. You see these couples. And they all look like this. And we talked last week, this is kind of an unhealthy thing, right? This lean where you feel like I need to borrow my happiness from somebody else. I need to borrow my contentment from somebody else. And they can't possibly fill you up. And so after a while, you break and you fall and it's awful. God's purpose is for you to be upright people in Him that get your morality and your contentment and all those things from Him. And once you are an upright person, you have the ability now to truly be a giver. And up to this point, you had to be a taker. And taking, you can never, that your person that you have the biggest crush on will never be able to fill up your contentment tank or your happiness tank. It just won't happen. And you can't possibly give that to that other person. And man, those relationships oftentimes end very, very bad because people are really ticked. Because I expected you to be filling my tank with this, and I'm not getting it anymore. And there's some really, you've seen some brutal breakups in your day. I know you have. Eros love. Some of it's even phileo. We said phileo was a little better because it's thought out and it makes sense that you would look for certain characteristics. And I still recommend you look for characteristics, okay? We don't want to just like, hey, you look like somebody. we're looking for something. But we said that was more like a 4 to 7 year marriage. And what we want to talk about more tonight is the lifetime love. It's the basis of what we know is going to last forever, okay? And this last one, I'm going to tell you, it's funny because the people that have their own happiness and morality and all those things are the people that don't really need to be in a relationship. It's kind of funny. The only people that are really worth a darn in a relationship are the people that don't need to be in a relationship. They're fine on their own 2 feet. Those are the people that actually are going to be givers. And from the outside looking in, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see, I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but I'm going to say my wife and I, we have a relationship you want. I'm telling you right now. You want what we've got. It's real good. You're thinking, no, you're not thinking. I'm thinking about everything you're thinking, okay? This is my wife and I have a great relationship. And here's the deal. You look at us. All right, peanut gallery, let's go. Let's settle down. You look from the outside, guys. You look at us, and you're going to see something that looks very similar to other relationship. You're going to say, man, it looks like you lean a lot on Paulette and she leans a lot on you. Yeah. Well, isn't that unhealthy? See, I think it's the difference between people that are operating from an empty bag are leaning and taking. And I think that people that actually have a full bag are leaning and giving. There's something very similar. You know, you know it. You're like, man, I just don't know. They look like they were going to be great, and they're not. And I didn't think they were going to do very well. And look at how great they're doing. I don't know. They just all kind of look the same. It's really hard to tell from the outside, but you can tell from the inside. And there has to be character from within that you rest upon, that actually you can pull from, that you can actually be. So last week our text was perseverance must do what? Anybody remember? Must start its work? Finish. Thank you. Somebody got it. Perseverance. James 1 says this. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I am telling you right now, if you're wondering how to fill your bag, if you're wondering, first of all, how do I have a happy marriage? How do I get happily married? You have to be happily unmarried. How am I going to have a content marriage? You got to be content unmarried. Okay, now this is getting hard. How do I get content? Period. You have to persevere. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance. What does that mean? It means you might be socially awkward and you've had to step into a number of traps where people have made fun of you behind your back and it hurts like heck to realize that I need to become a different person than I used to be. It means when everyone else has a date on Friday night and I'm home alone crying myself to sleep, I'm persevering because I'm alone. But there's character being built in that. And there's contentment being built in that. And there's this idea of learning how to study on your own without somebody holding your hand. And there's this idea of learning how to work hard and to get a job and to be a person that God's made you to be that's hard. And you have to persevere through that. Perseverance needs to finish its work so that you will be mature and complete and have a full bag to operate from. And when you have that, man, now you've got options. You've got options because, man, I could date. I could go to Germany. I could be a missionary. I could do anything I want because I have my own contentment, happiness, purpose, morality, and job. I want you guys to understand, we cannot go on tonight until we understand this is a process. There are four components to an amazing relationship. Four components, okay? We've already talked about number one. Number one is you got to be ready. You got to be perseverance to get your bag full. That's number one. You got to have a full bag. So a lot of you here are thinking, got that. Here's what I've noticed over time. This is just an assessment. Generally speaking, if somebody is quick to think, yeah, I'm pretty full in all those areas, you're probably not. If you think you are, you're probably not. And I've also noticed a lot of the people that are like the most stable, unbelievably mature, awesome people are like, not sure I should date yet. I'm just not sure if God's quite got me where I need to be. And you're like, get off there and date. Holy cow. Everyone around is like, you are so full of contentment and maturity and all these things. So usually, generally speaking, the people that got a full bag is because they've been hesitant. They know that it's taken work, and they know how much work they need to go. And that self-realization is probably what's gotten them to that point. And the people that are like, yeah, I believe in contentment. Yeah, so do we all. Just believing in it isn't enough. So that's got to be number one. I'm sorry, I kind of rambled on that for a while, but we have to understand we cannot move on tonight to section two until we have section one taken care of. So section two tonight really is about what do we do with this full bag? Because there are a lot of people that actually I've noticed in my life that really have the maturity and the contentment, all those things. They have all the tools, but they don't know how to love. And they don't know how to use it right. And so tonight, I want to talk about the next major thing that needs to be understood here. We need to understand tonight a word that some of you have heard this word. I'm not so sure we all understand what it means. The word is covenant. We have to understand the difference between a covenant and a contract. A contract is, I'm going to give you this, and you're going to give me this in return. And if I give you 100%, I'm expecting 100%. The problem with a contract relationship is your partner is never going to give you 100%. They can never fully give you what you need to get from God alone. God's the only one that can fill you up. And yet we're going to lean on each other in these kinds of... That's why we get all mad and bitter. Oh, we're losing this one now too, aren't we? That's why we get all mad and bitter is because, man, I expected this and you used to give me this and now you're giving me this. So I'm not going to give you even 90. I'm going to give you 70. Well, if you give me 70, I'm going to give me 40. And we just kind of keep going down to it. And then we're just ticked at each other. That's a contract. A contract is this little pillow that my wife and I saw when we first got married, and it was really cute. Everyone and I, we had a small group or something. I don't remember where we were. Everyone was like so impressed by this. It was such a cute idea for getting up and helping the baby or working with the baby. And it was a pillow, and on one side it says his turn, and on the other side it says her turn. And we're like, oh, that's good. And everyone's like, that's right. We need to have this idea of shared responsibilities and a contract. No. You need to have in your mind that it is always your turn. 100%. It should say his and hers on both sides. Like all the time, it's 100%. I'll get up. I'll get the next one. You know, there's just this, I'm always given. We're always given mentality. I'll tell you, first thing you're going to ask my wife, if you ask her about why our relationships, she says, I just do everything I can to relieve Pete's stress. Anything I can do. And I feel like I'm trying to do the same thing. Like anything I can do to try to relieve my wife's stress. Anything I can do to help her out, I try. She's better at it than I am, trust me. And then we need to understand this idea of covenant. Covenant is all through the Bible. It's all through the Old Testament. And we get our idea of covenant and our example of covenant from God himself. Do you guys remember God established a nation? And he said, this nation... they're going to be my people, and they're going to be awesome, and they're going to be the example to all the other nations. And so he blesses them, and he gives them good things, and then they complain and cuss him out and spit in his face. He said, well, I'm going to rescue them out of Egypt. And they're like, why'd you do that? I don't like this food. Why can't we go back? Well, I'm gonna give you like some rules to help you live by, because I care about you guys so much. And if we just live by these rules, you're gonna be really blessed. And he says, Moses, come up, and he gives them all these rules, and he brings them down, and they're worshiping a golden calf. And they're saying, oh, praise to the golden calf, because it rescued us out of Egypt. There is nothing that those people gave God that he could say, ooh, warm fuzzies. God made a covenant with them, though. Do you know what God's covenant was? I will always love you. Now, there's been punishments. There's been times where he's had to bring the hammer down, and there's been consequences to their actions. But he has never stopped loving, because he set a covenant. And a covenant means I will love you regardless. I will love you, period. I will love you always. I will never stop loving and investing in you. And the word covenant, the word agape, comes from this Hebrew word hesed. I can't really roll my, it's like this really guttural hesed. I can't even do it. Hesed. We'll just say hesed. There we go. And this word is about really just, it's an action word. It's not a receiving word. These others, agape or eros and phileo, there's a receiving, there's a feeling associated with this. The word agape really has nothing to do with feeling. It has everything to do with action. It has everything to do with investment. And that makes a lot of sense when we think about God, because God didn't get a lot of affection from his people, and yet he still loved them. And he probably hasn't gotten an awful lot of affection from us today, but he still loves us. And he brought Jesus down to establish a covenant with us, where he died for us, where he gave his all for us, regardless of how crappy you are and I am. That's the model of a marriage. That's the same root word for us and husbands and wives loving each other. Hesed. It's investment. It's from what Randy always would say, it's from the gut. It's a gutted out kind of thing. It's Valentine's week. That doesn't sound like that's appropriate. That's like, hey, gutted out with you, baby. I mean, it just doesn't sound romantic, right? But that really is maybe the truest sense of the word. And I'm really proud of my kids. We got Cordell and we got Micah here that are training for a half marathon. And their mom, I can't give them total props, because their mom kind of drags them out of the house a lot of the times. But my wife's training for this half marathon, and I haven't really noticed, it's been cold. And they got to get like 5-6 mile runs in. And there's snow, too. You've noticed that probably. And so my wife has been going from LA Fitness to Four Seasons, and, you know, being like, hey, I'm really interested in a package deal. Can I get a free 1 week pass? Just so she can use their treadmill for a week. She's just been using people this week. Just dragging the kids. Hey, I got another week's pass over at this place and this place. And so she's just running around town. She's committed to this, okay? She's gutting it out. I'm really proud of these guys. They're doing awesome with that. Here's tonight's verse, okay? This is a verse I want us. Last week it was perseverance must finish its work. Let's not forget that. Perseverance needs to finish its work. And once you get those things, once you fill yourself up, it's just amazing how often when people truly are content and they actually can look in the mirror and they can say, God, I want a relationship, but you know what? I think I can stand on my own 2 feet today. Today, I think I'm okay. It's at those moments, and I'm telling you, I've seen this happen so many times in campus ministry over the years, where when you're at that moment where you truly are satisfied, you'll get a tap on the shoulder, like, where have you been my whole life? God tends to give us what we can handle when it's time. Perseverance. Now, tonight's verse is this. Where your investment is. This is Jesus talking. He was up on this mountainside, and he's preaching to about 5,000 people. I don't know how he did it without, yeah, I do, because there was projection by the lake. But it was just awesome. It was like 5,000 people. And he preaches, and he says, he says, where your investment is, there your heart's going to be. Now, I'm going to tell you, you have been sold a lie. Because every TV show, movie, and song you've ever heard growing up, except for Dan Hubbard's, of course, teach you this idea that where your heart is, that's where your investment should be. You like her? Go for it. You feel something? You feel something? Just go for it. That's a contract mentality. Since you're receiving something, why don't you pay it back a little bit? God says, I want you to flip that around. Where your investment is, where your agape is, where your true full investment is, there your heart's gonna follow. Hard to understand that for some of us. Maybe this might help just a little bit. I was raised in a very country setting, okay? Very rural. And my brother got a coon dog. And we're gonna go coon hunting. But we gotta train the coon dog to know what a coon smells like, right? And if you're out in the country, raccoons are like evil. Like they get in your garbage. They got in my dad's attic of his shop. They chewed through on some wiring. I mean, you just as soon kick, spit, whatever on a raccoon. They're just not cool. Okay, you just the only good coon's a dead coon. So my brother is ready to train his coon dog. And we find this raccoon out by the barn, and so we trap it. And then we just start feeding it. And we start taming it a little bit, and then we're gonna like send it out on some runs, and we're gonna like have the dog smell it, and you know, we're just gonna work on training this dog to like smell the raccoons. And after a little bit of time, you know what ended up happening? We ended up giving this stupid coon a name. We ended up carrying it around on our shoulders with us, and we're rocking around the outside with it. We'd even bring it in, and my mom would be like, get that stupid raccoon out of the house. And we kind of grew to like this raccoon a little bit. It's the same dumb, stupid, mangy, nasty raccoon that ate through my dad's wiring. It's the same stupid, dumb raccoon that goes through the garbage. But I tell you, a little bit of an investment in that thing, and all of a sudden, start to love that thing a little bit. It's kind of funny how that turns, how that twists. And Randy, whenever he talks about this concept, he talks about the mangy dog that comes around on the outside, and it's a cold night like tonight, and you just like, oh, no dog deserved to freeze to death, so you just throw a blanket out. No dog deserves to starve to death. So you just, it's just some leftovers. That's all it is. It's some leftovers. You scrape it out. And before you know it, you've taken it to the vet and you've spent $400 getting them shots. And this dog becomes a very crucial part of your life. And you know, tonight, there are a number of dogs at the dog pound that are going to die tomorrow. I mean, there are. I think I just lost my audience. Let me finish that thought. There are a number of dogs that are going to die. And here's the deal. You know it, but they're faceless. I guarantee if one of them was hanging around your house, you'd be like, oh my gosh, you just don't know this. Oh, it's so pretty. It's such a cute dog. And your investment changes your heart, doesn't it? Guys, I really have to let you know that the other example that I love that Randy often mentions, and I got to steal it because there's nothing else that works as good, is this idea of we all kind of believe that biologically speaking, you're going to just naturally love your kids. That's just not true. The reality of why a mom loves her daughter or her son so much, this little baby so much, is because she's been carrying this thing for 9 months before she even sees him. And she's feeling sick. She's puked a number of times over this little thing. She's been going to like 14 garage sales around town trying to find just the right mix match of clothes and this crib that they've pasted together and fixed it up, and they've painted the walls, and they're ready for this thing. There's this investment that ends up carrying over before this thing even is born. And once it's born, it's a little colicky, and you gotta walk them down the hall, and you gotta get that little burp out, and you gotta get up at 2 and 4 and 6 and 8 and 10 throughout the night and throughout the morning, and this thing just becomes such an investment in your life. You can ask Dan at the Renewal Retreat. He knows. Just recently had a little one. And that investment causes you to love that kid. And you'll think, well, that's normal. Everyone just, no, not everyone does, because there's some kids, 16-year-old kids, they get pregnant. And the mom of the 16-year-old says, I don't want you to feel any pain. I'll make sure that I do the garage sailing for you. I'll make sure that this person doesn't have to feel any pain during the hospital visit. I want to make sure that once that baby's born, I'm going to walk it up and down the house so my daughter can sleep. I'm going to be the one that's going to do all the investing over time. And 6 months later, she's bawling her eyes out. My daughter doesn't even love my granddaughter, and I don't know why. It's because she's been the one investing. And you want to know how you're going to be in love with somebody the rest of your life? You want to know how you're going to have a kind of love that's going to last a lifetime? It's going to take a gut it out, it's time to get up, it's time to go outside and run mentality. And here's the reality is this, guys. I'm going to tell you this right now. A lot of you have a dad that really wanted to love your mom. And he really wanted to love you. But he was operating out of an empty bag. And here's where I have to get painfully clear with you. The reason that this prerequisite is so important, that you have something in your bag to offer people, is because everybody believes that this is the right formula. There's not a person that's sane that doesn't understand what I've got up here on the wall. But here's what usually happens is people think, yeah, I want to be that kind of a person that is full of contentment and gives. That's what I'll do. It's a whole lot easier to say it than it is to do it. And a lot of you guys come from families that maybe have a little bit more brokenness in it than you'd care to admit. And your dad's been really good at talking, and your mom is really good at talking. Because they believe this too. And they can share the information because they believe it in their heart. And they believe wholly that this is what needs to happen, but there's not anything there to really draw from. And that's where we need to understand that we need to be not just filling our bag, but we also need to be people that are going to invest it in a way that's covenant-like, not contractual. Where we're always going to be serving and giving, regardless of how sick she is, regardless of how lazy he is. One of my favorite examples, whenever we're doing premarital counseling, my wife brings up my socks. And for the first 5 to 6 years, she would get so frustrated because I've told them to pick up the socks and they're always there in the middle of the bedroom. Always there. Do you know what my wife started doing about year 6, 7, something like that? Picking up my socks. My wife likes flowers. I'm just going to throw myself under the bus bad tonight. You guys are going to hate me. You guys are going to be like, all right, nobody's coming back next week. Pizza jerk. My wife likes flowers. She really wanted flowers when each of my kids were born. 0 for 3. See you next week. We just went down to Georgia Tech last week, and she's like, you know what? She's like, you know what? I like flowers. And it's fun when he does randomly once every 4 years, remember? But I like flowers enough. Do you know what I do, girls? I buy myself some flowers. And I'm all right with that. And I look at my wife, and I'm like, man, you're awesome. I want to buy you flowers. I want to buy her flowers. Right? Covenant. My wife, she just gives. Regardless of how forgetful Pete is, she just loves me. She just gives to me. Regardless of how many times she's told me to fix the stove this week, and I didn't do it 4 times, and I finally did, you know. She's like, yeah, I'm not going to worry about it. Just letting you know that that's still there. And she just loves me. Regardless. And where your investment is, your heart's going to be. I'm going to close with a story, and we got some pretty cool stuff going tonight, guys. You got to understand that a covenant was first established by God. God understood it. Covenant means I give to you regardless if you ever return my love to me. And that's how God's done it for us all along. And consequently, he's the only one that can truly fill you up in a way that's going to make you upright, and you're going to have all the things and blessings and stuff that's going to fill your bag fuller than I've even got on the wall here. He's the only one that'll fill that for you. It was about 15 years ago. I was really fresh and new to this campus ministry thing. And so young in it. I mean, I'm in my mid-20s, late 20s maybe, and I'm thinking, this campus ministry thing's fun. I like young people. And I was young enough that I didn't ask certain questions to people that I should have. And I got a phone call from a local church that said, hey, we've got a couple that wants to get married. Would you want to marry them? Like, oh, sweet. Yeah. Just got off like one of these series and about relationships and I'm like, I love hanging out with 20, 22-year-old people. This is going to be great. It gives me a chance to share the gospel with them. It gives me a chance to pour into them. And we didn't have a lot of students. And I was like, since we got 4 students out there, I guess I might as well do some premarital counseling. And this lady comes in this campus house door right here, that front door right there. And she walks around the corner, sets up this meeting with her. She sounded pleasant on the phone. She was all excited. And her coat was really, really ratty. And I could tell immediately that she wasn't exactly from the same side of town as a lot of us are from. And she turned the corner, and I could tell right away, this is, I'm over my head. This woman is like 36, 37. And then her boyfriend shows up. Oh, and she's also got a daughter with her that's like 8. And I'm like, oh boy. It turns out they've got like 3 kids. He's got 1 or 2 from previous 2 marriages. She had a boyfriend with this other kid. And I'm just thinking, what do I even believe about this stuff? I don't even know. I'm 28 years old. I don't know what I just thought was going to be two college kids wanting to get married. This was not the deal. It's not what I signed up for. I almost told them, I don't know what to do with you, so leave. Well, her boyfriend came in where Ben's office is, where my office used to be, and he sat down. And I got kind of, back then, I didn't have really nice furniture or anything. And it was the only time in my 20 years of being here that I was kind of worried about him sitting on my couch because he was so greasy. Like, he worked as a mechanic, and so he's just dirt head to toe. And then he sat there, this big guy, kind of intimidating. And here I am, the young preacher man, you know. And I start talking about some of the stuff I've been sharing with you guys and talking about eros and phileo and agape and talking about covenants rather than contracts. And I get really scared because I know it's this time in the talk where I have to tell them about Jesus. And I want to tell them that God wants to have a covenant with you. And that this covenant with you is really going to be primary and foundational to you having a covenant with your wife. And so I said, I'm just going to mention it one time, and I'm never going to bring it up again, I promise. But this is what the gospel is. And you need to know that Jesus wants to have a relationship with you so that you can have a relationship with your wife. Bye. This was in the middle of our second session, and up to this point, I've not heard the man speak. And it's not because I haven't asked him questions. He just kind of sits there like he's going through what he needs to go through to get this marriage to happen. And you can just tell it's awkward for him, and you can just tell it's stressful for all of us, and at the most, I get a grunt out of him. That's all. Like, I don't even know what the guy's voice sounds like. And that's why it was so scary for me to, like, bring up this point, you know? It's just like, don't hurt me. I just gotta tell you about Jesus. Well, then it's the next session. And we're almost ready for the wedding. And he sits down, and I'm thinking, I mean, I just got this, like, pit in my stomach. Because it's like God was saying, you need a follow-up question. I'm like, yeah, but God, you heard what I said. I'm promised I'd never talk about it with him again. And I just think he's going to pull a gun. And before I could get it out, she says, Lionel, that's his name. Lionel's got something to tell you. Because he's been talking to all his friends at work. I'm like, what? And he said, no kidding, he said, preacher man. Preacher man. I've been listening to what you've been saying. It says makes a lot of sense. And be honest with you, I know why my first two marriages now failed. And I've been telling all my guys at work, they got to get baptized, man. I'm like, what about you? He said, that's what I'm getting to. And he said, it's just the most beautiful, awesome thing. Like, I got to tell you, I got such a soft spot for, like, car mechanic people. I just think they're awesome. Seriously, like, I do. I got, like, this... I am. I'm tearing up right now. Like he said, I figure I best get married to God before I get married to my wife this time. And so our rehearsal night, we went to a local church with him and his trucker buddy, and just baptized that guy before the wedding the next day. And that night. After that session, I went home. And there's often times where I'll tear up. I'll talk to my wife, and I'll say, hey, you know, this awesome thing happened. I just kind of tear up. My kids know this. I kind of get teary often. But I don't ever remember bawling my eyes out like I did. I went home and I didn't even know what to say. I just didn't even know what to say. I just cried. Because this guy just was so soft. I thought he was so hard. And he received this covenant from God so that he could live out a covenant with his wife. And guys, I want that. I want that for you.